I think all of us at one point or another in our life have questioned the existence of God, or certainly questioned his involvement in our life. Certainly over the centuries, different people have had their own perspective or definitions of what God is. Some force out there that just sets the world in motion and then leaves the world to its own design. Others, that God is a puppet master and we really don't have a choice in anything. We just do what we're told to do when whenever he pulls a string. I can't stop my arm because God's pulling it right now. And then there's everything in between. The revelation we've been given, and we've heard it especially these last 4 or 5 weeks, is that God is absolutely involved in our life in neither of those ways, but rather one who is very attentive, one who is always trying to get our attention, one who is pursuing us, one who desires nothing more than the absolute best for us. The disconnect, I think, that we have is with our vision, which we heard about last week. We don't see the big picture. We only see what's usually right in front of us, the emergency, the little fire that needs to be put out this second. And so losing that bigger picture, we lose what God's true desire is, that which is absolutely in our best interest, not momentarily, but absolutely, the ultimate. And so not only did we have the transfiguration a number of weeks ago where Jesus revealed to us who he was, Son of the Father, come to reconcile us with the Father, to bring us home. He showed us his glory. He showed us that he is the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. Then we saw very clearly the woman at the well, that Jesus knows who she is. He knows what she has done her whole life. He knows what she has been seeking, and she knows how it has not fulfilled her. He identifies that she's been married 5 times, that her desire for love is a good desire. It's a God-given desire, but she has brought it to the lowest base level. Instead of looking at a bigger picture, she's only living for the moment, trying to satisfy the momentary passions that we all experience. Jesus is calling her something more profound. But make no mistake, he's well aware of who she is, what she's dealing with. This is not some absentee landlord, and it certainly is not someone who's pulling the strings. If he were, she wouldn't have been in the mess that she was in. That fine balance between free will and grace. She responded so beautifully to him. Of course, it isn't just about her. And the transfiguration wasn't just about Peter, James, and John. It's really a gift for all of us. That woman is all of us. Peter, James, and John is all of us because we've been given this divine revelation. God is trying to call us to see a bigger picture as well, which is why he opens the eyes of the blind man. Again, knowing the situation of that man, knowing his pain, his anguish, knowing what is really at work, you and I are that blind man as well. Not just like the woman who's looking for love, but now this aimless wondering of, you know, in all the cosmos and all the generations, where do I fit in? And let's face it, once I die, Is that it? I think we've all have asked that question, certainly at some point in our adolescence or our midlife crisis, and most definitely at the bedside of someone who is getting ready to pass. Opening our eyes shows us God has a plan, that you and I are not mistakes, that there was an intention behind our creation, even if it came in a horrendous way, our birth, even if it appeared from all human eyes a mistake or a tragedy or a violence. God brought us to life through love. And it's that love that is sustaining us even now. But let's face it, there's still the all-pervading fear of death, which is why God gives us today's readings. You and I are Lazarus, and Jesus is really making a joke of death, even though for us it's not something to joke about, but it is a joke in the proper perspective, because death does not have the final say, at least in Christ. If we're in Christ, death does not have the final say. It's just another blip on the screen. It's just another difficulty. It's another struggle. It's another challenge. I'm certainly not undermining those of us who have experienced the loss of loved ones. That's very real. Jesus wept. He gets it. He understands. He knows our situation. He knows our fears. He knows our struggles. He knows our challenge. But he's trying to pull us into a bigger vision that death in this world is not really what we should fear. He tells us what our fear should be: the one who can destroy the soul, the one who can overpower our will. And who is that? We might immediately say, well, it's a Satan. Nope, it's us. It's you and me in our own life making choices that come about death or bring about life. This is the dance that you and I have been called to enter into. The dance between our free will and God's grace, and how much are we willing to trust in his grace and give over our will to his grace or hold back. We've all said at one point or another, Lord, if you had been here, thus and so would not have happened. Lord, do you not understand the pain we're in? Yes, he understands the pain we're in, but stand back. Look at the bigger picture. There's something more at work here. If you and I just get bogged down in the details of the moment, we lose the bigger picture. And the loss of the bigger picture is loss of life. Death is very real, it's very scary, it's very difficult, especially in our current world where we have pushed it to the sidelines. I remember my grandmother, great-grandmother, having a wake in the home. So I am old, but I'm not that old. I remember bringing death into the house. It was good for us. I remember as an infant trying to crawl into the casket. I remember it vividly. And the minister coming and grabbing me and pulling me out. Get out of there. Lazarus, come out. I remember those moments that were so real that I didn't understand what death was, but death was a friend. It wasn't something to be feared. It certainly wasn't an enemy. Not at that young life, not young stage. Certainly, as we get older, we begin to realize, and fear does begin to take over. And let's face it again, our whole culture has been developed and built upon using that fear. That's why we all need more Botox, so that we can live another day. That's why we need to take more pills and eat only organic. And don't eat this fish, but only eat that fish. And this chicken won't do, but that chicken will. And eggs aren't good for you anyway. I mean, look at across the board, the confusion over all of this. And it's all based upon our fear of death. That I will no longer be. That I am not. Won't be remembered. So live for today. Jesus is putting it in its proper context. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's coming for all of us. Yes, it's going to happen and there is no escape. But there's something bigger than death, and that is the spiritual life and our union with Christ and our friendship with him. It is the friend, the one who loves him, the one whom he loves, that will hear in our death, come out, untie him, let him go. This week we're encouraged, as we prepare for Palm Sunday and Holy Week, to think about death. Maybe we don't think about it enough. It is, as I said, what positions us, what gives us insight into what really is important. You know, I think of all the funerals that I've done and been a part of. The grieving family wants the world to stop and acknowledge their pain, and it doesn't. It just keeps going. Much like what is happening with the gospel today. It just keeps going. And Jesus loved them enough to say, let's wait two more days, just to make sure he's really dead, so that God's glory can be shown forth. Let's ask the Holy Spirit this week to help us reflect on death, have a healthy, holy perspective. And you see all the images of the saints and holy cards and pictures, especially in monasteries where they ate. They always had a skull right there. Not because they're morbid, but because it keeps us grounded. It really is a compass in a world sometimes that it's easy to get caught up in things that aren't really so important. Let's ask the Holy Spirit for the grace to reflect on death, to see it for what it really is, and to put it in its proper perspective.